also talks about data, because that's kind of the research nerdy person that I am. But this is another, with the Affordable Care Act and what's going on, this is talking about how schools and public health organizations can work together. And they already do in many ways, I realize that. But I just want to, it's kind of like the next step of and what we've seen. So this, what we're going to talk about here is the ways that public health nurses can work with school nurses, as well as going back to the data, because everything is data-driven. And oftentimes there's been a big push that we need more data, and school nurses have a lot of data, but they aren't, they don't always connect them. So that's what this is kind of going to talk about. So working together. First off, we always, this is a chart that shows home and community factors, sometimes known as social determinants, that are factors that influence a person's health. It's a big push in public health right now is that we need to address these social determinants. Well, who better to seize them every day? Because the determinants are things like the lower socioeconomic level or poverty. If English is a second language, or if it's not spoken at home at all, but it's a second language to the children in this case. Other things of no health insurance or access to care. If they don't have transportation to get to health, health providers, things like that. Also, do they have a home to begin with, starting with that. These are all things that public health has identified as huge factors when it comes to impacting the health of a population. And sometimes, of course, they see it. And a lot of public health nurses, I should say, actually work as school nurses. So there's some obvious connections to begin with. But we found as we've worked that there sometimes are disconnects. And we've got school nurses who are in the schools that see this on a daily basis, that have the records that if they don't know for sure, if a child comes from a lower socioeconomic area, they have the records of maybe the free and reduced lunch, or they know where the kids go to, where they live, that go to school in that area, and they can drive around and see that. But that doesn't always connect with programs that the health department is doing, which also is looking at some of those same areas, and so you have two people oftentimes doing the same exact things instead of using resources better. So first, some areas that it has worked really well and that they can collaborate in. First is with health education and promotion. It came out really strong actually when H1N1 was out. Right? In fact, it was a school nurse that identified it in one of the schools when it came here to the United States. And that was, I think, one of the crux where public health departments realized the data and what was going on in schools that is real time that could be used really quickly. So, but first starting with asthma management, there's actually been several studies that have showed that having someone, it kind of goes back to what we were talking before with case management and diabetes in Massachusetts. Well, studies have shown with asthma as well, if there's someone there that can really help them identify what is triggering their asthma and work individually, not that health providers don't do that, but they don't have the time to do it consistently and find out where the gaps are. But a school nurse can, and asthma is identified as one of the most, in fact, it is the most common childhood illness. And so health departments are doing all kinds of things to try and promote asthma management, but yet the school nurses are oftentimes doing it and working together. And so some of the models that have worked really well is that in several school districts and states throughout, they've actually partnered with school nurses. And in this last one, they've actually partnered with the provider so that the provider knows where the child is going to school and is in communication with the school nurse, and they're talking back and forth. They don't have electronic healthcare records in this area, so they're actually just picking up the phone, you know, the old-fashioned way, sad to say that, huh? But talking back and forth that way, and they found that they're able to really identify why the child is not managing their asthma well and what the questions are that maybe the family has not felt comfortable asking the healthcare provider or didn't even realize was a question. So it's working well. A huge area is with vaccinations and immunizations. Since there are requirements in the schools for immunizations, school nurses track that a lot. But what they found, and there's actually a lot of resources that show that actually having the clinics right in the schools as partnering with the health department, that they improved compliance, not just with the immunizations that are required in the schools, but also for the flu vaccine. And this is where the whole H1N1 really jumped up. In fact, there's a program in Maine that has partnered at all levels, and 76% of their schools have clinics in the schools to provide those immunizations for the kids that aren't getting them otherwise. And they, of course, increased the compliance. It's also a time to talk to parents about questions they might have. And that's just in this school year, the 76%. So It's an area that has really shown, and the data shows that when kids are vaccinated for the flu, they actually do decrease the absentee rate. So it's a win-win for the school nurse, and for public health. Another area is with absences, which of course we know about from a school standpoint, but in regards to, like I say, the tracking of the real time, things such as if there seems to be a lot of kids that are out for the flu, you know, the flu as in maybe not influenza, but just something going on, well then the school nurse is tracking that already, but being able to real-time that data to public health, and then they can put it in with hospital data and all the other data in that community to get a real feel of what's going on in that community. The flu outbreaks are the ones, and many, I actually did an informal poll with our state school nurse consultants, actually, and that was identified as one area that they really do a lot of coordination. Also in the development of policies, and that's where the return on investment, this is research that shows that when you do prevention, you actually, for every dollar that's put into prevention, that you save money in other areas. For example, just prevention overall, which is actually the study specifically looked at obesity and exercise in the community and tobacco use. For every dollar that was spent doing that, they saved $5.60. So again, the public health department's doing this, but the schools oftentimes are taken up to do this. And sometimes the health department will come into the schools to do it, but and might be talking to the health educator, but not realize that there's a school nurse and others, the school psychologists, social workers, nutrition, that are also involved in this same process. And so it's getting everyone to work together to use the limited resources that are available. So the big area that I think is going to be even more of an issue is not just in those programs, which I think are important, but actually in the use of data. Some of the reports that are already going on that school nurses and public health nurses share oftentimes, the injury reports, so if a child gets hurt in school, most states, and it's voluntary, but they have incredible compliance rates, send those reports. And it's not like I need a Band-Aid type injury. It's got to be something more severe than that. They send them into the state health department who can track and identify over time, and then they are able to do the overall reports. From these reports, they've been able to identify, for example, concussions, which is a huge issue right now in public health, and identify what are those reasons for concussions to then identify how they can decrease the number of concussions and to make sure those concussions are being taken care of, that if the child needs to go home, that they do, that they contact the parent, because there's been cases when that hasn't happened. That's also been important and interesting because in states that don't have a school nurse in the schools regularly, 911 is actually called more often, and in the state of Utah, which has a school nurse that covers usually 6 to 10 schools, 911 is called 4 days a week in one of the schools, simply because of injuries, because there's not someone to identify it. EPSDT screenings, which are Medicaid screenings, which is public health, but when the school nurse is able to do some of that screenings in the school and share the data, they make sure the kids get the screenings that they need and identify the risks. Immunizations are a big one, especially with the registries, and in some cases, school nurses will go have the ability to, a lot of them can read them, but they're now working on having the ability to actually enter additional data because if they've gotten an immunization out of state or something and they have the record at school, the school could put the data in for them. BMI, you know, obesity, everyone gets the state rates, and that's been great. They usually get it, of course, in the schools, and the school nurses often help, but they're actually going to the next level if they do more than just the requirement for getting the population based. They can actually get it by zip code, and then health departments are using that information to actually identify, well, why is this zip code higher? And is it because they don't have enough fruits and vegetables in that area? Or what resources are already going there or not going there? And they actually shift with a few limited resources that they have to address that situation. And then I thought this was interesting, children with chronic conditions that in some states, and I did not ask how this worked with confidentiality, but they actually give the name, the list of children that have chronic conditions to the health department. So I know, I see some looks. I don't know how they did it from a confidentiality standpoint, but they have something arranged. But then that way, again, they're looking at, well, where are their trends? Oftentimes in many states, they get their rates by it's from a sample, but then they make some huge generalizations from it using like 7% of the population. Well, the kids are all in school. The school nurses have a lot of that data or could easily get it. You would have much better, robust data. that you could use. So that's where it's going, is where's the potential? And with the chronic disease management, what more can be done? Thus, a lot of the money that state health departments get are towards chronic disease management. And so, as I was saying, the school nurses are already collecting that data. How can we share the data appropriately so that it helps everyone with the limited resources that we have? I mentioned social determinants. Again, the school nurses have that data. It's collected in the schools. How can that be used to help health departments really realize the areas that they need to put the resources? Not that they're not doing that. That's not what I'm saying. It's just done at a neighborhood level versus a county level. Cost-effective interventions, they've been able to identify what works really well. I have the picture of Delaware here because they're starting to do some things where through electronic healthcare records can share data actually between the school nurse and its providers. With the Affordable Care Act and the push towards communities working more together in a coordinated system, the schools, and they keep saying, oh, schools have to be involved, which I agree, this is a way to kind of help bridge those gaps that put them all together. And I think finally in the biggest area, I've just mentioned a few that have been come up, is we oftentimes look at those that have a chronic condition or are at risk. We don't have any really good real-time data or longitudinal data of just the well child. And of course, I mean, a lot of children go to school are well. We're glad they're well. We want to keep them well. And what are we doing that keeps them healthy? And it's actually an opportunity that we would have data not just on children that have health conditions, but those that are well, and what are we doing to make sure they stay that way? This is part of, as school nurses are working to identify the standardized data set, that we're hoping will be a way that school nurses collect it across the nation the same way, which actually then just helps health departments too, because they could compare it better. So where we're going with this, I mentioned with the Affordable Care Act, there's going to be more opportunities. They're going to talk about this so that we just need to be aware of it so we can see how our schools can connect in. And it's a way to become a partner with the public health departments in a different way, because I know they're already partners in many ways, and an opportunity to make sure that all the people who need to be involved are. Also come January, there's a change in the Medicaid ruling that says that before it had to be like a healthcare provider that could bill for prevention services, and that's even like a person who has asthma that just needs some, when it's prevention in that, yes, they have the asthma, but you can help them so they don't have as many exacerbations. That there's actually the rule is changing that you don't have to be a healthcare provider to be able to bill for the services that you provide. So even places such as the YMCA could actually start billing for, they do amazing services with diabetes. But why not? Why aren't schools and the school nurses and those that are working with those children and are doing this already, they could actually be part of the billing process, which would bring in some funding. And finally, there's a grant, and 9 states got this particular part of it, this enhancement grant 1305, where they're actually, the CDC is asking these states to work with schools to develop databases to track chronic disease management, and they have to identify a chronic disease management to, or at least one, they can do more. Many of the states have identified asthma and very common conditions, but this is all in conjunction different than the things that are already going on in the schools with the school nurses. So if we can work together, we would be able to enhance that much more than what CDC is envisioning. So kind of just the school nurses are the eyes and ears of our population already, and the schools, beyond just the school nurses, school psychologists with all the things going on with mental health, and being able to really work in better conjunction with public health. Great things have been done already. Greater things can even go more as we think outside the box of how they connect and really, and then resources can be used most efficiently. And those are just my references, and that is all. Any questions?